Charlie's reading, Charlie's needing, Charlie, he's a dandy. Charlie, he's a nice young man, he feeds a girl on candy.
This is Hillbilly Solid, and I'm your host, Silas House. Well, howdy. We've had a little bit of a hiatus here on Hillbilly Solid. For those of you listening on WMMT, you know that. But we also have a whole new slew of listeners now that we are being carried on WUKY. And we are really, really glad to welcome them to our family of listeners. We've not done a show since last fall because we just kindly like to hibernate during the wintertime. There are so many good books that we just hole up and read as much as we possibly can and peep out every once in a while, waiting for the red buds to come back. So now they are back, and it's springtime, and we are back on the air and glad to be with everyone out there in radio land. There is just so much good music out right now that I don't hardly know where to begin. I could fill up 3 or 4 shows, I believe, with the songs I've been listening to here lately. I've tried to whittle it down to a handful for your listening pleasure, and I'll play them today. We also have an interview with New York Times best-selling author Amy Green from East Tennessee, and a tribute to one of Appalachia's most beloved sons. But right now, let's get to some music. I'm sure that many of you already know this, but Joan Osborne is from good old Kentucky. She grew up in Portland, up near Louisville. But she says that she carries the Appalachian Mountains around in her bones and her voice box all the time. Most people know her from her huge hit, One of Us. But she has all kinds of records lately that are just showcasing what an amazing vocal talent she is. She's just released a great new album called Bring It On Home, and we'll start off this set with one of my favorites from it. Here's Joan Osborne.
Like a ball of lightning. Just hang on for a minute, I've got something to say. I'm not asking you to move on or forget it, but these are better days. To be wrong all along and admit it is not amazing grace. But to be loved like a song you remember even when you've changed. Tell me, did I go on a tangent? Did I let it through my teeth? Did I cause you to stumble on your feet? Did I bring shame on my family? Did it sound I was weak? Whatever you see, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. Oh, that wasn't me. When you're lost, you will toss every lucky coin you'll ever trust. And you'll hide from your God like he ever turns his back on us. Then you fall all the way to the bottom and land on your own knife. And you'll learn who you are even if it doesn't take your life. Tell me, did I go on a tangent? Did I let it through my teeth? Did I cause you to stumble on your feet? Did I bring shame on my family? Did it sound I was weak? Whatever you see, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. Oh, that wasn't me. But I want you to know that you'll never be alone. I wanna believe. Do I make myself a blessing to everyone I meet? When you fall, I will catch you on your feet. Do I spend time with my family? Did it show when I was weak? When that's what you see, that will be me. That will be me. That will be me. That will be me.
If I lay my head down on you, would it be too late? 'Cause I can't blame you, baby, it's me that's done wrong. 'Cause I broke the skies that shine above.
Right there.
Well, in that set, you heard Shoorah Shoorah by Joan Osborne from her new record, Bring It On Home. After that was the brilliant and darling Brandi Carlile, whom I worship just a little bit. That's from her upcoming album, Bear Creek, which will be released on June 5th. And I tell you what, I'm counting down the days until that comes out and until I can see her live again. I think I'm up to 7 times now. It's bordering on stalking, I guess, but I don't care. And that new single is really something. After that was Graffiti 6 doing Free. My daughter turned me onto that one. She has excellent taste in music and is always introducing me to good stuff, and I sure appreciate her for doing that. This is Hillbilly Solid, and I'm your host, Silas House, here at the studios of WUKY. Well, back in February, I and the whole region lost an amazing friend. Mike Mullins was the director of the Hyman Settlement School, and he almost single-handedly turned Hyman into one of the most important cultural and educational centers in Appalachia. Writers and musicians throughout the region looked up to Mike in his role as the director of the Appalachian Writers Workshop and Family Folk Week, but his work reached much wider than that. He did much to preserve the crafts and arts tradition in eastern Kentucky, and was instrumental in establishing one of the best dyslexia and adult education programs in the country. Mike was gruff and honest, tender and caring, keenly intelligent, opinionated, and very, very wise. He was integral in holding together the Appalachian community, and he was like a father figure to many of us. He certainly was to me. And I know that I speak for many of you who are out there listening right now, because he surely made an impact on everyone he met, and he met a whole lot of people in these mountains. Mike's favorite poem was Heritage by James Steele, but I'd like to read one that was written by our mutual friend, Wendelberry. It's called Ripening. The longer we are together, the larger death grows around us. How many we know by now who are dead. We, who were young, now count the cost of having been. And yet, as we know the dead, we grow familiar with the world. We, who were young and loved each other ignorantly, now come to know each other in love, married by what we have done, as much as by what we intend. Our hair turns white with our ripening, as though to fly away in some coming wind, bearing the seed of what we know. It was bitter to learn that we come to death as we come to love, bitter to face the just and solving welcome that death prepares. But that is bitter only to the ignorant who pray it will not happen. Having come the bitter way to better prayer, we have the sweetness of ripening. How sweet to know you by the signs of this world. I think that gets right to the heart of who Mike Mullins was, and it certainly was sweet to know him. Here's a song just for Mike.
Black clouds are behind me. I now can see ahead. Often I wonder why I try, hoping for an end. Sorrow my shoulders down, and trouble haunts my mind. But I know the present will not last, and tomorrow will be kinder. Tomorrow true, I've seen it before. A brighter day is coming my way. Yes, tomorrow will be kinder. Today I've cried a many tears, and pain is in my my heart. Around me lies a somber scene. I don't know where to start, but I feel warmth on my skin. The stars have all aligned. The wind has blown, but now I know that tomorrow will be kind.
You got to hold on. gotta hold on. You gotta hold on.
Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Wrong again, wrong again. One day I know I feel strong again. I lift my head. Many times I've been told all this talk will make you. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on. Lost again, lost again. One day I know I'll pass through cross again. Smile again, smile again. One day I hope to make you smile again. I won't hide. Many times I've been told, speak your mind, just be. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, and the tears will clear. Then I feel no fear. Then I feel no way. Paths will be made straight. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Wrong again, wrong again. One day I know I feel strong again. I lift my head. Many times I've been told all this talk will make you cold. So I close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on.
Thank you.
We started off that set with Tomorrow Will Be Kinder, a great new song by the Secret Sisters from the soundtrack of The Hunger Games. That's a really great soundtrack, even though they don't use any of the songs in the actual movie. I guess the songs were inspired by the movie, or better yet, the book. After that, we had Hold On by Alabama Shakes, not to be confused with Alabama, which would be totally different, the country band. As I understand it, Alabama Shakes are being mentored by Jack White, so they're in really great hands there since he's the musical genius of our time, if you ask me. Then we had Home Again by Michael Kiwanuka. I hope I pronounced that right. He's a British singer I found out about, and I really love him. After that was the new single from the Great Lake Swimmers, Easy Come, Easy Go. I've been loving the Great Lake Swimmers for a while now. I think they're so underrated, and I hope more people will check out their new album, New Wild Everywhere, which is very, very fine. Remember to try to buy your music at your local independent record store if you can. I like that idea of occupying Main Street if it's at all possible for you. Don't forget now, coming up, we're going to have an interview with Amy Green. I know that many of you have read her book, Bloodroot, and loved it, and she's kind enough to talk to us here in a few minutes. I'm Silas House, and this is Hillbilly Solid, a production of WUKY Public Radio. Well, I was speaking of the musical genius of our time, so let's have a track from his forthcoming album. Here's the one and only Jack White.
Stick a knife inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground. I want love to murder my own mother and take her off to somewhere like hell or up above. And I want love to change my friends to enemies, change my friends to enemies, show me how it's all my fault. I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me. I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me. Yeah, I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me anymore. I want love to walk right up and bite me, grab a hold of me and fight me, leave me dying on the ground. And I want love to split my mouth wide open and cover up my ears and never let me hear a sound. I want love to forget that you offended me, or how you had defended me when everybody tore me down. Yeah, I want love to my friends to enemies, change my friends to enemies, show me how it's all my fault. Yeah, I won't let love disrupt, corrupt, or interrupt me.
Just a shell of
that stranger in the
Maybe someday. Oh, I'll be coming, yeah, yeah. When I come, said when I'm done, yeah. When I come, said when I'm done, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We started off with Jack White doing Love Interruption. Then we had the duo First Aid Kit with Blue. That's from the record The Lion's Roar, which is excellent. You should track down a copy if you can. We closed that set with the Irish awesomeness of Imelda May, whose album Mayhem is a great one for driving, dancing, house cleaning, whatever turns your key. Well, we are very, very lucky to have Amy Green with us today. She is the nationally best-selling author of a novel called Bloodroot, and I know that many of you have read it. Amy was born and raised in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains down in East Tennessee, and she lives there now with her husband and two children. Her debut novel, Bloodroot, was published by Knopf in 2010, and her second novel, Long Man, is forthcoming from Knopf. I think she just finished it up. We'll talk a little bit about that. So let's just get right to it, Amy. First of all, welcome to Hillbilly Solid.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
It's always good to visit with you, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about writing, and I'm just going to grill you and give you some hard questions, and I know that you will fire just a brilliant answer right back to me.
Oh, I can take it. Just hit me with anything.
Well, first of all, I was wondering, I want you to try to articulate it because I've never been very good at it, but why do you think that we feel this overwhelming desire to write, and in particular to write about this place?
I think maybe because when you feel marginalized or you feel silenced in a way, if you kind of have this feeling that nobody cares what you have to say, then you have this overwhelming desire to say it. And, you know, maybe that's sort of at the root of it, I think, is, you know, feeling pushed to the side a little bit.
I totally agree. And I always say that one reason I love where I'm from is because I have to defend it so often. You know, I think that does make a difference. What made you feel that way? I mean, was it growing up and encountering the media's portrayal of where you're from, or what?
I think maybe. I think without even realizing it, I think we kind of have this, there's, you know, we see ourselves portrayed as these people who are maybe not articulate and it's sort of a joke in a way. So I do think there's definitely a perception, and you know that's what we have. That we're seeing it ourselves,
right.
And I think it sinks in, you know.
But do you think your perception of rural America or Appalachia has changed since your book came out, and now that you've been all over the country and you know you've been on book tour and all that, has your own perception changed, do you think?
I think so. I think I didn't really realize what it meant to be Appalachian until I left the South. It was outside of the South for the first time. And really, even before the book tour, the first time that I spent any real amount of time outside of Appalachia was when I went to school in Vermont. And, you know, there was almost a literal language barrier there. People would ask me to repeat myself again and again, and I realized, you know, I must have a thick accent, or they would assume that I loved country music and I knew everything about it, or, you know, or that I lived on a farm, or, you know, and so it was really strange to me to see this perception that, you know, that people elsewhere had. And so, you know, I think that's part of also when I started to feel like I maybe needed to defend myself and defend my part of the country. But, you know, I think I had to be outside of Appalachia to know what it meant to be Appalachian.
Right. What's your favorite thing about writing?
I think it's the ability to, I think what I really want to do and what I'm trying to do is express something real and universal. And I think in a way it's a way of being immortal in a way, you know, to put something permanent on paper and to really, I don't know, to be able to connect with the world outside of my skin. And I feel less alone, really, when I write. So I think that's my favorite thing about it, is feeling like I'm connecting.
Yeah, that's so interesting, you know, because one of the big stereotypes about writers is that we're always alone and, you know, in our little space doing our own thing, and we are sort of hermits and all that, but we are trying to connect. It's such an ironic thing that way.
And I do think, you know, it is a solitary thing, writing is. It's a solitary act and a solitary profession, and maybe writers aren't the best in social situations. I know I'm not. I'm a little bit awkward sometimes, but I think maybe that's part of why we're so driven to write. If we're, you know, really introspective, but we want to share ourselves, I think everybody does. You know, there's this drive, no matter how introspective you are, or, you know, you have this drive to share yourself with other people.
Right. What do you think the hardest thing about writing is for you?
I think that the hardest part is, since I've been published, this sort of, you know, business part, where my editor described it as, when I started to have to, you know, do interviews and travel, she said, well, here's where you go from being a writer to being an author with a capital A. And so for me, writing is nothing but a pleasure. But then when I have to, you know, when I have to go into author mode, that's been the hardest part for me.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Especially the business aspect, you know, because writers are just, I don't know about you, but most writers I know are not very good at math.
No. I'm not either, no.
Yeah,
I'm really bad at that part. So, you know, and I think writing for me is a very emotional thing and almost a spiritual thing. So, well, not almost. It is a spiritual thing to me. I feel like it's a calling in a way. So because it's so personal, you know, when I've had to get into even the editing and the, you know, the kind of even polishing the manuscript and all that, I mean, I don't get pleasure from that. What I really get pleasure from is the sort of release of just getting it all out and getting it on paper. And so, you know, once that part's over and I'm in this sort of rigorous process of trying to make it something publishable, really, I mean, the magic goes away a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely the hardest part for me.
Well, speaking of pleasure, tell me about what you've been reading lately that you've been loving.
Well, the best book that I've read in a really long time, it's a memoir. It's called Wild by Cheryl Strayed. And I'm not a big reader of memoirs, but there was just something so moving about this one, and just so touching. And probably part of it is because it's a memoir about her experience of hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. And, you know, it's sort of about how she heals by communing with nature. And, you know, she's been through a lot of trauma in her life and lost her mom to cancer. And, you know, she gets through it by connecting with nature. And so I really related to that, because I do think that, you know, that's a way to get in touch with God and with your higher self. So, I mean, it's stunning. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. Loved it.
Well, that's interesting, because the best book I've read lately was also a memoir, and I know both of us are normally readers of novels more than anything else, and the memoir I read recently I loved is called Why Be Happy When You Can Be Normal by Jeanette Winterson. So you have to read that one, and I'll read Wild, and then we'll be able to talk about
it. It's going on my list.
All right. What about music? What are you loving lately?
I just recently discovered The Civil Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Their debut, Barton Hollow, and I was had this long car trip that I had to endure and listened to the whole album, and I was just blown away by it, because I think it's one of those albums that tells a story, and, you know, just not only the hauntingly beautiful voices, but just the whole album, there was this feeling of, you know, of storytelling, and for me, that's what the best music does, and the best songs. They're, you know, songwriting is a form of storytelling, so I just really loved that one.
Yeah, it's an excellent album. It's it's nice to see them getting some mainstream success, because, you know, normally a group that is that good, it doesn't transfer to the mainstream, but they are really, really great.
Yeah. It has to be either next level great or terrible to make it into the mainstream, I think. So it's at that wonderful next level extreme.
I think you're right. Well, I can't wait for Long Man to come out, your new novel. What is there a pub date yet, or do you know?
The last that I've heard is summer 2013. So it's been such a grueling process, but it'll just be wonderful to finally have it hit the shelves.
Right. Can you tell us what it's about in like 3 or 4 sentences?
I'll try. Brevity is not my strong suit, but I will try.
That's why you're a novelist.
It's about a little girl who goes missing from a town in East Tennessee during the Depression. In the months before, it's about to be flooded, or it's being flooded by a TVA dam. So, you know, it's really been this process of kind of telling this intimate story against this bigger backdrop of the Depression. And of course, you know, I think the Depression is sort of on our minds in this, you know, in the current economic climate and what's been going on currently in our, you know, in our country. But, you know, it was kind of hard for me to write as a mother and to kind of try to put myself in the mind space of this woman who has lost her child, you know. So, you know, it's been really kind of a hard book to write on both of those levels, because writing about the Depression, I had to do a lot of research, and that was too much like school.
Yeah.
That's not what I love to do, but you know, I had this crazy idea that writing the second novel would be easier than the first one somehow, and because I thought I was an old pro, but turned out that wasn't the case.
Well, I can't wait, and I know lots of other people are waiting on it too. Thank you so much for joining us on Hillbilly Solid. We sure appreciate you, Amy, and love your work. So thanks so much.
It was so good talking to you.
You too. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we will close our show today with a sweet little tune that I'll send out to my somebody special. This one is by a singer called Rumor. That's R-U-M-E-R. I recommend that you check her out. Her album, Seasons of My Soul, is a terrible title, but it's a wonderful collection of music. Every song on it's great. Until our next episode of Hillbilly Solid, I hope that you will be good to each other. Here's Rumor with Blackbird.
Darkness, everyone went away. You were the one who adored me, and it's so hard to say goodbye to you. So hard when I want to carry you everywhere, everywhere, so I don't forget. I'll carry you everywhere, everywhere, so I don't forget. But there's a soft screen.
sweetest reverie, melodies that I